We had the two contracts, one to hand to Chuck Dobson and one to hand to his mother, and all they had to do was sign it. So now she says to us, she said, well, I'd like to have my husband see this. And I thought to myself, here's a woman that told me that she is the one that wears the pants, and now she wants to get her husband. So Pat Friday says, call your husband up. Tell him to get in a cab. We'll pay his salary for the day, and we'll get him out here. She says, no, I don't want to do that. See, we didn't want to leave because the other scouts have appointments with her. So we decided she wanted her lawyer to see the contract. And I said, who's your lawyer? And I knew the lawyer. I've known him for years. And in fact, he lived in the same parish that we did down in St. Francis. She says, I want him to look at the contract. We said, okay. So we decided to come back at 5 o'clock and take him out to dinner and sign him. And she said, no, she said, you take the contract. And she said, I'll have my lawyer look it over. So we left. We were going to come back at 5 o'clock and pick the whole family up to go out to dinner. So I go from there. Peters and Friday tells me, would you go downtown and see the lawyer? So I went downtown and I went into the lawyer's office. And you know, he tried to get $10,000 more out of me. We had this thing figured up that we were going to offer the boy $60,000. That was what it's going to amount to. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, there's no way that I can authorize to give you any more money. See, he wanted to get $10,000 more. He said, if you give me $10,000 more, he says, I'll call her up and tell her to take it. I said, there's no way I can authorize it. So I'm in his office for over 2 hours. And I can't get anything. That's all I get out of him. So when I get out, it's about 4:45. And we're supposed to go pick him up at 5 o'clock. So I called Peters at the ballpark. I got in right outside the elevator down in the building. And I said, Hank, I said, do you want me to meet you out at the Dobson house, or do you want me to come by the park and pick you up? He says, I've got bad news for you. I said, what happened? Somebody else sign him? He says, no. And during the time we were at his house, he got up to go to the toilet, and he was limping. And Pat Friday said to him, he said, would you mind going over to see our Dr. Myers this afternoon? He said, no, I'll go over. So now, Peter says, I got bad news for you. I said, well, what is it? After I figured that nobody else signed him. Well, he said, the doctor says that he's got jagged bones at the base of his spine. And he might not be able to pitch in a week. It might be a month. It might be a year. But he said he's got jagged bones in the base of his spine, and he says, we recommend that you don't sign him. So I said, well, Peters, I said, what about the dinner? Well, he says, we got to cancel it. I said, who's going to tell her? He says, who do you think's going to tell her? He says, you're going to tell her. I said, holy Christ. And so I called her and canceled the dinner, and I said, I'll come by to see you in the morning. So I went by, and it seemed as though down like this, and they were all shifted, all pretty ready to cry. I said, well, I said, I'm sorry. I said, the doctors recommended that we don't sign it. And along with that, $60,000 that we were going to give him, we were going to give him a college education. So now the other scouts, they all call me and they want to know what happened. What happened? I told him, I said, he got jagged bones at the base of his spine. Well, Ray Myers was scouting for Detroit. He called Detroit and had Detroit call a doctor. Anyway, he don't sign. He goes to the University of Kansas on a scholarship. Floyd Temple is the scout, is the coach at Kansas. And they had a pretty good ball club. They had Dobson and Rinko pitching for them at Kansas University. So now we go back. That is in the fall of 63. So now I have to go to Peters and ask him if he will release me from the contract for scouting. Did Yogi call me and wanted me to be one of his coaches next year? He said, sure, we'll release you. We won't stand in your way. So now, when they let me go as scout, who did they hire to take my place but Whitey Herzog? And now Kansas is playing, the Kansas players, some of the players are playing in the tournament at Wichita, in the semi-pro tournament. And I'm in New York with the Yankees. And I saw one of the, I think it was Johnny Johnson or somebody, and I said to him, I says, it was along about the time, along about August, when they had the tournament at Wichita, and I said, whatever happened to Dobson? He says, it's funny you asked me. He said, he's going to sign in the morning for $20,000 with Tom Greenway. So Whitey Herzog is scouting the tournament. Whitey jumps in the car and drives back to Kansas City and talks to Peters. And he said, well, we better call Charlie. Charlie had just spent all his money on Blue Moon Odom and Catfish Hunter, up to $500,000. And he says, we got to call Charlie. So Whitey gets on the phone and talks to Charlie. And he says, I have spent too much money, and he says, I'm not going to spend any more money. And Whitey kept talking. Whitey told me this. He said he must have talked 45 minutes to him. And he said, well, he says, I'll tell you what, he's going to sign in the morning. Whitey wanted $25,000, see, to beat Greenway's offer. So he said to Finley, he said, well, he's going to sign in the morning. He says, who's he going to sign with? He said, the Yankees. He says, I'll have you $25,000 here in a half hour. So Whitey went out and signed him after he had shaken hands with Greenway. Mm. So that's a story there about your little scouting deal. Now the only two guys that I can remember offhand that I signed and went to the big leagues, of course Dobson ended up with the A's, mm-hmm. and then they moved to Oakland. I think he was with them for about 6 or 7 years with no back trouble. But when I was with the A's, there was a guy by the name of Paul Lindblad. Now I signed Lindblad. I think I gave him $2,000 to sign and give him all the incentive bonuses. And I think he played with the A's for about 6 or 7 years. And then the other one that I was instrumental in helping sign was Joe McDermott, was a kid by the name of Bonson that went to the University of Nebraska. In fact, the Topps people sent me a little, a little gold tray or something for being the, he was the rookie of the year 1 year.
Stan Bonson?
Stan Bonson. I think we give him about 30 or 35,000. Mm-hmm. But I don't talk about the guys that I signed and that didn't make it. There was quite a few.
Did you ever, when you were playing, did you ever get thrown out of a game?
I don't think when I was playing. I did a couple of times when I was managing. And then, of course, when I went back into the last 6 weeks of the season for the A's, they were playing Detroit one night. And, of course, I was hollering at the guy, the pitcher, to stop or something when he's, you know, when he's coming down. Mm-hmm. And the umpire got mad at me, and he come over and threw me out. And then the next day, Peters called up Harry Krebs, said him, tell him to be a little more quiet on the bench.
You remember any memorable fights when you were playing that you were involved in?
I think the best fight that we had was in, must have been 39 or 40. Passel was pitching for us, and Hugh Casey was pitching for Brooklyn. And he hit Passel right in the back. Passel threw that bat, threw it right at him. It sailed over his head. And then they all went at it. I got a cut shoe out of that. I think my roommate stepped on it. But they were all around the mound and everything. But that was about all. I don't think... I got kicked out a couple of times in the Texas League. But that's about it.
Who would you consider to be the best umpire you ever came across?
Well, you had quite a few of them. They had Bean Jordan and Jock O'Connell and the old guy that was there forever.
Clem?
Clem. Clem was a good ball and strike umpire. But I think those were three good umpires.
Mm-hmm. As far as the ballparks go. I know we talked a little bit about League Park. I don't know if you know what's left of League Park, but there's the little building that sat in the corner of 66 in Lexington, that where the right field stands, kind of tucked in, and then there was a, I don't know if it was Indians offices or ticket office, whatever. That's left, and there's part of the first base stands. That's about it. But did you have a favorite place to play in the big leagues? Did you like Cincinnati or Chicago? Or
well, I like Chicago. Yeah. Chicago was a tough place. It was a tough place to play because the wind was always blowing in. But every once in a while the wind would blow out and it would carry the balls pretty good. But I like Chicago. It was a pretty ballpark, and I mean it was a good ballpark to see in. Cincinnati was a little larger, and I mean hot. It was hot there.
How about traveling? Of course, when you played, it was all by train, I'm guessing.
Yes, sir.
And yes,
it was. But later, when I went to the Yankees, it was by airplane.
Mm-hmm. When you were on the... describe just a little bit about traveling around the country, playing baseball on the trains, and if you did any stopping in between to play any exhibition games or anything like that. And then what did you think about being away from home for that long a period of time?
Well, we didn't play too many exhibition games. When I was with the Cubs, we went up and played Milwaukee, the Brewers. played in Cooperstown 2 years in a row. 1-40 with the Cubs, and 1-41 with Cincinnati. And that was on our way to Boston to play. See, when you went on the train to go to Boston, you would leave Chicago about 7 o'clock at night, and you wouldn't get in there until the next morning late. It was a long way. And we used to stop over. See, they had the different teams play at Cooperstown every year. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to be with the Cubs when they played in 39 or 40, I forget. It must have been 40. And then in 41 with Cincinnati. And they had a little dinky ballpark there, which wasn't very, I think they got a beautiful park there now.
Mm-hmm. Were the trains pretty nice, or were they hot and dirty?
I think the first air conditioning train I got on was in Newark in 37 or 38. But no, we had, I think we had three different coaches that had everybody on there.
And did rookies get one bunk and the established players get the other one?
Was there You had the goofs up in the upper deck.
Mm-hmm. And what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, they weren't playing. They wanted the regulars to get their rest.
So the lower ones were better for sleeping than the upper ones?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Trades are a little bit, unfortunately, before my time. How about, you talked about when you were signed, you talked about the money that you got, but what was the most money you ever got in a year for playing ball?
$10,000.
And what year was that?
41. And if I hit 313 that year and 40 with the Cubs, I'd have had you as my agent the next year. Because that Warren Giles over in Cincinnati, he'd give you all the barbed wire you could eat.
Yeah.
But that's the, oh, of course, the Yankees, they gave me more money as coach and everything.
How about, did you ever have a deal worked out with an owner that you were, he gave you a sob story? Jim, I can't afford to pay you that much this year, but if you have a good year, I'll take care of you the next year. And then when the next year rolled around, you didn't get the money then either?
No, I never had anybody say that.
Okay. How about superstitious? Were you superstitious at all, or did you play with anybody?
I imagine we all were. We all were, but I don't think I had anything that was outstanding.
Well, we talked to Don Gutteridge yesterday about Bobo Newsom and how, I guess on the days he was supposed to pitch, he wouldn't tie his own shoes. Somebody had to come over and tie his shoes for him. Was there any, they have a book out now that they went back and researched all the numbers the guys wore when they were playing in the big leagues. And was there any significance to any of the numbers that you wore? In Cleveland it was 31 and Chicago was 24. Or was that just the shirt that they threw at you?
It was just the one they gave us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 15 at Cincinnati. 24 was one of them. And I think at the Yankees I had 39. I used to tell everybody over there it's my age.
Could you, this is kind of a talk show question, could you put together an all-star team? In other words, could you pick out somebody who was your favorite player at each of the nine positions, either that you played with or that you just saw maybe later on?
Well, I think the best players that I've played against and have seen, I would say Joe DiMaggio is the greatest. And I think Ted Williams was the best hitter I've seen. Would go from position to position. If they weren't any good, they wouldn't be there playing. But I think those were, and of course, Mantle and Ford, Yogi, they were all outstanding.
Mm-hmm. If you were, had your own team, if you were the owner and you could pick one guy, go back through history to manage that team, who would you pick?
I think I'd pick a minor league manager, Larry Gilbert of New Orleans. I played for him for, oh, 2.5 years. And he was always making the right moves. Now, of course, some of the teams that I was with, like the Newark Ball Club, you didn't have to make many changes. But I think Gabby was a good manager. I can't say too great things about McKechnie. Well, that's about all of the managers I talk about.
Okay. You talked about it after you retired in 75. You said you were just doing honeydews. Before I forget, the paper here says that you married Julia not once but twice. Is that true, or?
You see, I got married in February the 4th, 1937. I married a girl by the name of Margaret Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Margaret Sullivan. And in 1938, on November the 12th, my son was born, and she never made it. She died on the 29th of November of 38.
Okay.
And then I married Julia on December 1st,
45.
Of 1945.
Okay, well this book is wrong again.
So I had Jimmy by my first wife. And then with this wife I've had Billy and Bobby. And 7 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Only 2 boys.
When I called you in December and we couldn't get together, you were out. I know hunting season was just coming to a close, and it was Kansas one day and Missouri the other day, but were you leading some little hunting expedition, or were you just out there hunting for yourself?
I belonged to a club.
Okay.
Down here between here and Pittsburgh. And I used to go down, I'd let some of the other members that wanted to bring guests, I'd let them hunt on the weekend. And then I'd go down Sunday night or Monday and stay about 4 or 5 days, depending upon how good the hunting was.
Mm-hmm.
And then come home for a day or two and then go back.
Sounds good. Well, I'll tell you what, 2 more questions there, Jim, and I'll let you go. Do you have a favorite memory from playing ball, like a biggest thrill or something like that?
Well, every day was a thrill to me to put the uniform on. But I think that the memorable thing, as I can remember, was my triple off of Lefty Groves. And then I think I hit a Grand Slam home run in Cincinnati. I thought it was on the 4th of July, but I guess it was on the... I was with the Cubs. There it is, Bucky Waller. The 30th of July. June. I remember it was off of Bucky Waller.
Well, the last question would be the flip side of that one. Is there anything that you wished you could go back and do over, or something that you could change?
No. I'm a little satisfied with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did the best I could with what I had. And I was very happy to get to play when there was 8 teams in each league. Now you've got 500-600 players in the big leagues that wouldn't even be in there.
Any disappointment over never making it to the big leagues as a manager after all the managing you did in the minor leagues?
A little.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little. But of course, again, you only didn't have too many teams.
No, we had 16 teams. Okay, Jim, thanks for spending some time with me today.
The only thing I am sorry about that I didn't get in on the pension. Your pension started in April of 47, and I was playing at Louisville, so you had to go back and start all over. So I lost 5 years there. But the Lord has taken good care of me.
Okay. Jim, thanks for your time.
Okay, sir.